bring you back. Yeah, we can meet whereabouts. There should be a cafe around here somewhere.
Welcome to the Tradie HQ podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Tradie HQ, Australia's first co-working and business incubator aimed specifically at trade-based businesses.
Okay, welcome back everyone. This is Dan, the Tradie HQ podcast, and today we are joined by Brendan Craker from ECAWA. He's the health and safety manager there, and this will be episode 3 in an ongoing series that we're doing around safety and the importance of safety and all that sort of thing as a means of further educating everyone about the importance and sometimes the costs involved and the value involved in maintaining a safe work culture. Brendan, how are you, mate?
Good, Dan. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good to be back in the seat. Okay, so what are we going to discuss today, mate?
Well, Dan, studies have shown, and I'll give us a small boring history lesson shortly, that a positive culture, positive safety culture within an organisation is a key driver in reduced incident rates. So we'll look at the history, where did this come from, and some of it's old, but to me it's still just as pertinent today as it was before.
Yep.
So I guess, like, in Australia at present, we're going through a regulatory shift. You know, most of the states now have adopted the WHS harmonised legislation. I know here in West Australia we adopted most of it in 2020 to 2022. But I think to really, let's call it safety excellence, to really achieve safety excellence, you need more than just following those regulations. Now, that boring history lesson I spoke about, well, there's a group in the US called the Construction Industry Institute. They've been around a long time, and their mandate is to study and support the construction industry to improve safety, quality and cost for the members. So it's like a members' organisation, similar to ECAWA. Now, here's the history. So, well, first, so who's on this group? Well, you've got some of the major owners. You've got Chevron, Exxon, DuPont, Shell, General Motors, and then you've got your big contractors, construction contractors like Fleur, Bechtel, Chicago Bridge and Iron, and you've got a couple of universities like MIT and Stanford. So they're some of the members of this. So anyway, back in 1993 and again in 1999, they commissioned a guy called John Mathis, if that means anything, to do a study on the industry looking at construction projects between $20 and $500 million. And his task was look at the companies that have got the best safety performance and what do they have in common? What are the common things they're doing? Will I keep going on this history, or everyone's gone to sleep by
now? No, keep going. Yeah,
anyway, they came up with these 9 best practices that the best companies were doing, and top of the list was demonstrated management commitment. There was staffing for safety, pre-task and project planning. There was subcontractor management, drug and alcohol testing, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the one that is really pertinent and applies to building that culture is the one at the top of the list, demonstrated management commitment.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'd agree. I mean, it's that's really is sort of, I guess, developing the culture sort of thing from the top down, isn't it? You know, that's what people sort of look to if they see that there's like it says that, the management commitment to safety, so people understand that all of these reporting measures and everything aren't just falling on deaf ears. The intent is actually to provide a safe workplace so that everyone can go home at the end of the day. And I'm just looking at your list there, and one of the other ones there is worker participation and involvement, which obviously probably goes hand in hand with that top one, I would imagine.
Good pickup, yeah. Exactly like you said, hand in hand. So to build that culture, look, I think basically as people, we're skeptics, yeah?
Mm.
And I know I am, yeah. And I personally, and these aren't my words, I don't know who I first heard say this, but there's an old saying for us skeptics, and it's, look, don't tell me, show me.
Mm.
And to me, that don't tell me, show me, is how you drive that culture.
Yeah, yeah, lead by example sort of thing.
Lead by example and get involved.
Yep.
Like your GM or CEO can stand up there and probably talk for an hour on how important safety is to the organisation, et cetera. And I'll guarantee that 60% of the audience are saying, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. 60's being
Look, I'm
generous.
Trying to be polite, right? Yeah, whatever. So yeah. it's what the CEO, general manager, directors, it's what they do that counts, not what they say. Well, yeah, you've got to say it, but more importantly, it's what the people see you doing and seeing your involvement.
Yeah, which I mean, and I guess from the perspective of that, the CEO or the GM being at the top of the tree, you know, people probably aren't going to, you know, employees and subordinates probably aren't going to see that person do something hands-on. However, then it becomes the job of the subordinate managers to understand the CEO and the GM's intent, and then they're the ones that execute that sort of at the coalface, I guess, and they're the ones that have the periodic, you know, tools down meetings around safety and all that sort of thing.
But I think the CEO can still do it. Well, depending on organisational size, I suppose,
yeah,
you know,
yep.
and what ability he or she's got to interact. But there's still a lot they can do as well.
Mm.
Some of the things that I've seen over the years and I'm very supportive of, and we actually do quite a bit of it at ECAWA, is it starts right when the employee enters the company, right at the induction. A simple thing like the CEO or the general manager's attending, they don't have to attend the induction, but drop in. Hello, my name's John Doe. I'm the CEO of the organisation. Welcome to the organisation. Now, I want to tell you my views on safety in this organisation. So that's a good starting point from as soon as the person enters the workforce.
Yep.
How long does that take? 3 minutes? Four minutes?
Yeah, not long.
Yeah. And if your organisation spread that the inductions might not be done where the CEO sits or the GM sits, a simple induction video with those people on that video being showed at the induction.
Yeah.
Just where does safety sit in this organisation?
Yeah, no, for sure. And then so in your experience, I mean, you've worked for, you know, big companies on big projects and that sort of stuff. Have you sort of typically seen that in your role as the OH&S manager or a WHS manager, whatever it was back in those days? How have you seen the best ways that to be sort of demonstrated in your experience?
Just about every major project I've done, Dan. Okay, I will admit it was with the one company or mainly the one company, but the regional manager of the region and the project manager were in that induction video.
Mm.
And then I would say the project manager, project directors were actually walking the sites at least once a week, doing a safety walkthrough.
Right. And now, so they'd be walking through, speaking to people, identifying hazards.
But the thing I liked about those, and it's a trap that I've seen that many times, your project manager, project director, construction manager, whatever, walks through the site to do a safety walkthrough. And within 10 minutes, it's not a safety walkthrough anymore. It's become project schedule walkthrough.
Yeah.
Now, like I say, people are sceptical and not stupid. They pick up on that very, very quickly. So I've always maintained, okay, if you're doing a safety walkthrough, it's a safety walkthrough. If you need to look at schedule, come back later, do a schedule walkthrough.
Yeah.
But when you're doing that safety walkthrough, conversation with your with the supervisors and the workers is safety.
Yeah, yeah, it needs to be focused.
Yeah.
Not without distraction of all the other bits and pieces, yeah.
Another one I've seen a lot is management teams posting each manager on his door, posting a pledge what he believes in safety. Now people, they walk into the room, that's the first thing they see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so how do you think so, you know, when you're talking about these particular jobs, you know, and these projects, obviously they're massive, you know, if you consider the, I'm sure, the dollars, the man hours and all that sort of stuff. How can a smaller business sort of how can they sort of make a difference culturally when you're talking about a 2-3-4-man team sort of thing? What do you think the best way for them would be?
Exact same principles.
Yeah.
Visibility. Okay, let's say we had a small company, 100 people, or 50 people, one office, one facility.
Yep.
The exact same thing. You have to induct people. That's the law. Well, there's the opportunity to set the tone right at the start. Safety's core value at this organisation. This is what I believe. This is how we're going to do it. Regardless of the facility size or the company, there's facility inspections. You have to do them. Well, every now and again, that manager should walk through the place with the person doing the inspection.
Yep.
Your people pick up on those sorts of things. They notice those little things.
Yeah.
If you're having a meeting, like a town hall meeting or a pre-start meeting or a toolbox meeting, if the leadership's there, they should run that meeting.
Mm.
Or at least speak at it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, have a presence. Like you say, do the opening address, yeah. mention safety,
yeah,
as on top of everything else. Because, I mean, like we've spoken about, probably it was back on the first episode, is that safety and workplace health and safety management and that sort of stuff is as important and, in fact, more important really than any of the other stuff they might be getting up to speak about in terms of scheduling and all that sort of stuff, because, you know, all of that can go out the window if you have a fatality or a serious injury or near miss at the workplace. So it stands to reason that, you know, when you do get up and talk about that, then either, you know, as per your list there, there's another one there of recognition and rewards, you know, so it doesn't always have to be doom and gloom like, oh, you know, so-and-so hurt himself or whatever. It can be acknowledging the team or individuals for, you know, service or towards a safe workplace culture, you know, whether that's someone who reported a hazard that more than likely prevented an EMS or, you know, accolades for the supervisor who's run the team with no LTIs and that sort of stuff.
Well, if you want to drive a positive culture and you want to increase safe behaviours, where you identify that safe behaviour should be recognised.
Mm.
So the more you promote that safe behaviour, the safe behaviours in the organisation will grow.
Yeah, and I guess that just, again, it just comes back to sort of basic leadership principles.
Yes.
Around, but in this instance, it's just applied to workplace health and safety. So positive reinforcement. You know, including the staff and employees in the development of that process and the culture, because, you know, once you involve someone in something, it gives them ownership.
Yes.
So if you've in consultation with them come up with a plan, and it's where you can avoid it, try and avoid it being your plan, and try and make it so that they're the ones who have come up with the idea. And then two things. One is they're the ones who are doing the work. So they're probably in the best position to explain things or make decisions. And two, once you let them do that, then they have ownership of it and are more encouraged to make it work, as opposed to something being dictated to them and then just going, oh, here we go, more fucking paperwork, you know, more.
Yeah. So if I hand it, say it's a recognition award, if I hand that recognition award out to an employee, it will have an effect.
Mm.
If the CEO, who's a non-WHS person, hands out a WHS recognition award, it's got a huge effect.
Mm.
Because the CEO, by his actions, is of, you know, show me, don't tell me, is showing how important it is to him.
Yeah.
And I used to always maintain on construction sites that if there's a toolbox meeting, if I get up and speak, I can speak for 2 hours. Yep, that's the safety guy talking shit again.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Yeah.
Construction manager gets up and speaks for 2 minutes, he'll have more of an effect than the 30 minutes of me speaking.
Yeah.
Because people say, gee, safety must be pretty important around here.
Yeah.
It's those small, there's no one fits, no one thing. All the accumulation of all those little things builds that culture.
Yeah. And I guess if you demonstrated management commitment means different things for lots of different organisations, subject to their size and all that sort of thing. So I think, if anything, take that away from this podcast and then work out what that means within your own organisation and come up with ways to show. And again, you know, that might be done at the next toolbox meeting or the next safety meeting that an organisation of any size has.
Correct.
And you could ask the people, say, hey guys, like, how can we as a management leadership team, business owner, tradie, how can we show you how important safety is? And they'll give you the answers, hopefully. Well, you might have to prod them a little bit, but, you know, safety rewards at the end of the month or whatever it is, and just run with that.
So another one that I like is, should an organisation have a serious incident, depending on the size of the organisation and what their scope is, what's a serious incident is different to across various organisations. But say, to me, a lost time injury in any organisation is serious, because here's a person, they've come to work and they can't continue working. So that's serious. Another good one that I've seen and I really like is, that outcome has got to be presented to someone. Someone in the organisation wants to know what happened. Now, all too often, it's the safety person sitting there presenting to the board or the CEO, here's what happened. To me, it should be the responsible manager. If it's a construction job, the project manager, if he's reporting back to the board, because that shows his involvement and his care for that incident.
Acceptance and how.
So that's one you don't often see, but it's one I've worked with that had to happen, and it was a very effective
motivator.
And it was also noticed by the staff that it was that guy having to present.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. And I guess that's sort of the opposite of recognition and rewards, probably the recognition you don't want. But like you say, when you've got to go and front the board with your hat in your hand and explain why there was an LTI or a serious incident, then that's hopefully going to be the catalyst for you to go back and change systems and processes in order to avoid that situation again.
But, you know, you put all this stuff in place, Dan, and you build that culture, but consultation, you spoke about that earlier. Well, that's key to it as well, but also in a different way. So you need to know how your organisation is travelling from a cultural perspective. So I believe that every year you should run a cultural perception survey. It hasn't got to be big. You don't want 32 questions or this thing, half a dozen maximum. But the key question is, so say you use something like SurveyMonkey, where you've got strongly agree, neither agree nor disagree, strongly disagree. My management is committed to the safety and welfare of the employees.
Yep.
And then look at what feedback you get.
Yeah.
Does everyone agree?
And make it anonymous, right?
Oh, definitely.
That's the only way you're going to get a...
Definitely. We do that every year.
Yep.
Just to
get an idea.
To get an idea that, because, you know, especially if you're an organisation with a large attrition rate, are the new people got the same belief as the older people?
Mm. Yeah.
So I believe that feedback's key.
Definitely. Mate, I think after the last one we said we're going to try and keep it around 20 minutes. We're sitting on just over 20 now. So, I think we covered a fair bit there. What do you sort of want to close out with, I guess, just for the listeners in terms of developing a safe work culture?
Don't tell me, show me.
Yeah. Yeah, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, management in action. Don't tell me, show me.
Yeah. Ripper. I reckon it's a good place to end it, mate.
Righto, Dan.
Good on you. Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks, mate.
All right, guys, as always, look after yourselves, look after each other. Give us a follow and a like on Facebook, and I'll see you guys on the next one. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Tradie HQ podcast. For more information, head to tradiehqwa.com.au and follow us on Facebook at the Tradie HQ podcast group. Have a great day.